to Current Issues, the radio show. Coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our phone number is 1-877-488-5350. And with us, we have Leila Yagi, who was with us a couple of weeks ago. And if you remember, we talked to her about her son, who is incarcerated. Actually, he got 31 and a half years in prison on some terrorism charges, as it was described. And if you remember, a couple of weeks ago, I was kind of tough and rough with Leila because I just would not accept the answers she was giving me, that her son didn't do anything. And because it's mind-boggling to think that, wow, somebody, just because his name is Ziad, just because he looks like he's from the Middle East, just because he's an Arab or an Arab heritage, even though he's an American citizen, that he would be charged with terrorism and actually go to jail for 31 and a half years for it. That was the story. And today, actually, we do have Leila and her attorney with us, Bob Boyle. And we are going to try to see, maybe we can get some more information. And also, we do have somebody that we will be going to here shortly, Mel Underbeck, I believe. She was also, she's an activist who was involved in the process. She went to a couple of the trials, and she knows a lot about this particular case. So we're going to be talking to Mel later on. But let's bring Bob and Leila up. Welcome to the program.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir. Thank you for being with us. Bob, I want to start with you. Now, we had and we grilled poor Leila on, okay, you know, it's like our minds are not accepting that your son didn't do anything, and yet he got 31 and a half years. Can you maybe tell us, I mean, you are, I understand you are the defense attorney now. What can you tell us, what did your client do to get 31 and a half years?
Well, I can tell you what the evidence that the government presented and what the theory of the prosecution was, and I think that will make it clearer. He was charged and convicted of conspiracy to provide material support to a terrorist organization. There was no evidence that he what that organization was, where it, you know, any theory in that regard. The theory of the prosecution was that Mr. Yagi and other people, and I should talk a little bit more, I'll give a little bit more of a background in the moment, essentially agreed, that's the theory of the prosecution, we dispute a lot of it factually, the theory was that if you agree as a Muslim that there is an obligation for jihad, including but not limited to violent jihad, that is an agreement, you are guilty of conspiracy to support a terrorist organization. And the only other things they had against Mr. Yagi was that he made two trips to the Middle East, one in 2006, a second in 2007. There was no evidence about what, if anything, he did over there, except during the 2006 trip, that there was records of phone calls showing that he was living with his uncle at the time, and he came back to the United States. And but the background of this case, I think, explains it a little bit more. The alleged leader of the conspiracy was this man by the name of Daniel Boyd, who was about twice Ziad Yagi's age and really twice the age of anyone else who the government alleged was part of this. He converted to Islam as, I think, you know, a young man, as a child. I think his mother remarried to a Muslim. In the 1980s, he joined the Mujahideen in Afghanistan. Afghanistan. He's from, actually, just the United States. He was living in Boston at the time. And this was, of course, at a time when the United States government was supporting the fight of the Mujahideen against the Soviet Union in Afghanistan. He went over there to join the fight. Turns out he never really got within 1 mile of any actual fighting. He came back to the United States and eventually relocated to North Carolina. By his own admission, because he eventually became a government agent, a government witness at the trial, he embellished his experiences in Afghanistan as a fighter, as a Mujahideen warrior, when in fact he really didn't have much, he didn't do much over there. And he built up his reputation. He kind of, over many years, became this kind of elder that a lot of the youth went to for stories of, you know, the fight against the Soviets. He fashioned himself as a mentor in Islam. And in about 2006, this was in the Raleigh, North Carolina area, he was a member of a mosque, and there were a lot of youth in that mosque, one of whom was Ziad Yagi, and there were several others. And he was viewed as a mentor by these young men in Islam. And there was a lot of discussions, theoretical discussions about...
Bob, let me just stop
you.
Yeah,
sure, go ahead.
For a second. Was he a government agent or informant
that
time?
No, he was not a... No, no.
Okay.
He was not a... working for the government, as we've seen in many other cases, in many entrapment cases. Yeah, and he, he became kind of like almost a, even by his own admission, you know, a kind of Svengali character to a lot of the youth. He held a lot of discussions, and Mr. Yagi was part of some of these discussions. But that's where it ended with respect to Ziad Yagi. I know it is hard to believe that this could be all that
was. And these discussions took place in his private home or
in
the mosque?
After Juma services, in his private home. It wasn't like this, you know, secret meetings. I mean, there were discussions.
Okay.
There were discussions about world events. There were discussions about Israel and Palestine. There were discussions about what was happening in Iraq, in Pakistan, in Afghanistan, and people gave their ideas about things. And Mr. Yagi was one of the people that did so. And at the same time, unbeknownst to everyone, there were some government agents who were sent to infiltrate and gather intelligence on this mosque. And they were recording a lot of conversations and so forth and so on. Actually, none of Mr. Yagi's conversations were ever recorded. But that brought the government's interest down on Mr. Boyd. Mr. Yagi, as I said earlier, made two trips to the Middle East, and one in 2006 and the other in 2007. One to see family, and the second, he was with one of his other co-defendants. They ended up going to Germany, ended up on the beach in Egypt, and came back home. The government's theory, of course, was that they went over there to find, you know, an organization that they could engage in violent jihad with, but there was no proof of that, absolutely no proof. They came back home, and after, this was June of 2007, essentially, there's no more contact with Boyd and anyone else in the mosque. They disassociated themselves with Boyd, who continued to be an influence on youth in the mosque in the Raleigh area, and by his own admission, and these now the recordings do reflect it, kind of became crazy and paranoid. He started talking a lot wilder about actually doing things. He organized target practices and trainings in the woods in North Carolina and was you know, encouraging these youth that, yes, indeed, they should go overseas and, fight the struggle. But I stress at this time, Yagi and this is even by the government's own admission, is no longer associating with Mr. Boyd or any of those folks. So by July 2009, the FBI decides that there's enough here that they're going to arrest Mr. Boyd. And they arrested him on July 29, 2009, his two sons, several other people, including Mr. Yagi. They arrest Mr. Yagi even though there's no contact between 2007 and 2009. He's charged in the same conspiracy as everyone else. Ultimately, Mr. Boyd and his two sons, Zachariah and Dylan, enter into cooperation agreements with the government and testified at the trial of Mr. Yagi and his co-defendants. And they went to trial last year in 2011. Mr. Yagi was convicted of two counts of material support to a terrorist organization and given 31 years. And he was, I think he was, and Layla will correct me, he was 19 when he first came in contact with Mr. or 18 when he came in contact with Mr. Boyd, and 20 years old when he was convicted. Mr. Boyd was in his 40s. And as were a lot of the other people in the who were charged here, all youth, all impressionable youth. And this is the, okay. You know, the...
Robert, we're going to have to...